Raya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Gopi Jan Bala Bhagi Vadadhari. Jaya Gopi Jan Bala Bhagi Vadadhari. Jasoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Astatara Sri Shimanis Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Shikaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar, Gopa Gopinath, Shama Kund, Radha Kund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Shri Vrindavandam Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Shrimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Sama Veda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Go Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste, Saraswati Deve, Gauravani, Pacharane, Nivishesha, Sunyavani, Pastyat, Yade, Satarane, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai. So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, we're on Chapter 17, which is entitled The Victory of Hiranyaksha. And we're hearing a lot about the demoniac qualities, and that's going to continue today. So we're on text number 21. Oh, sorry. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Now I can't see the book. Text 21 and 22 is our verse today. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayet nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I just made a little connection between this prayer, just by regular attendance in classes and hearing the Bhagavatam, and the fact that Srila Prabhupada says in purport, somewhere in the Bhagavatam, in the earlier cantos, that reading the Bhagavatam is not as important as hearing and speaking the Bhagavatam. Thank you, 117. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport of 117 that hearing the Bhagavatam from the pure devotee, which is what we're doing, even though it comes, unfortunately, today comes through me, but it comes through Srila Prabhupada, because we've heard from Srila Prabhupada, hearing from the people who those pure devotees, those personalities who have gotten the real essence of the Bhagavatam, hearing from them has a very purifying, potent effect on the living entity. Hare Krishna. Okay. Omaginati midandasya jananjana salakaya chaksu umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, having not heard from the pure devotee for many, many bazillions of lifetimes. But fortunately, however that happened, I have no clue how it happened, that I got to hear from Srila Prabhupada. And he forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, even though, and still I want to keep my eyes shut, he keeps forcing it open. So I'm very indebted to Srila Prabhupada, and I beg for service to his lotus feet, life after life. Okay, text number 21, we can just repeat together quickly. Tam viksha dushaha javam. We'll repeat it twice, okay? Tam viksha dushaha javam ranat kanchananupuram ranat kanchananupuram Vijayantya Shraja Justam Vijayanta Jaja Shrustam Amsanyasta Mahagadam Amsanyasta Mahagadam. So the translation is Hiranyaksha's temper was difficult to control. He had anklets of gold tinkling about his feet. He was adorned with a gigantic garland, and he rested his huge mace on one of his shoulders. Hiranyaksha's temper was difficult to control. That's a big subject matter there. And why was his temper difficult to control? We'll talk about that as we go along. He had anklets of gold and tinkling about his feet, and he was adorned with a gigantic garland. Why was he adorned with a gigantic garland? Because he had a gigantic body. He was gigantic. So he had to have a gigantic body, a garland to go with that body, to go around it. Okay, text number 22, we'll repeat in our normal way. Mano viryam barokshitam. Mano virya barokshitam. Asrinyam akutobayam. Ashrinyam akuto bayam. Bihita nili re devas vire. Bihita nili re devas. Taksha trasta ivahaya. Tarksya trasta ivahayaha. Manovirya varokshiktam. Ashrinyam akutobayam. Bita nili yire devas. Takshatrasta Ivahaya. Please chant. Manovirya Varokshitam Ashrinyam Akutobayam Bihita Nili Rev Devas Taksha Trasya Ivahaya Manovirya Varokshitam Ashrinyam Akutobayam Yudat Nili Mire Devas Taksha Trasya Ivahaya. Manovirya Varokshitam Ashrinyam Akutobayam Bihita Nilire Devas Taksha Trasya Ivahaya. You did very well. Continue to chant, okay? You did good. Thank you. Anyone else? Manovirayam Varokshitam Arshrinyam Akutobayam Bita Nili Riye Devas Taksha Trasya Ivahaya Manovirya Varokshitam Ashrinyam Akutobayam Bita Nili Rire Devas Taksha Trasya Ivahaya Manovirya Varokshitam Ashrinyam Akutobayam Bita Nili Yire Devas Takshatra Manovirya by mental and bodily strength. Vara, by the boon. Ukshitam, proud. Ashrinyam, not able to be checked. Akutabayam, fearing no one. Bita, frightened. Niliyure, hid themselves. Deva, the demigods. Taksha, Garuda, Trasta, frightened of, Eva, like, Ahaya, snakes. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. His mental and bodily strength, as well as the boon conferred upon him, had made him proud. He feared death at the hands of no one, and there was no checking him. The gods, therefore, were seized with fear at his very sight, and they hid themselves, even as snakes hide themselves for fear of Garuda. You can imagine what a presence he had then. If even the demigods, who were very powerful, it's not that they were wimps, you could say. They were very, very powerful and had strength and so many qualities, and just by seeing him, it invokes such a fear in their hearts. Here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. The asuras are generally strongly built, as described here, and therefore their mental condition is very sound, and their prowess is also extraordinary. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, having received the boon that they would not be killed by any other living entity within this universe, were almost immortal, and thus they were completely fearless. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So these two verses, I'm going to read the first one again. Hiranyaksha's temper was difficult to control. He had anklets of gold tinkling about his feet. He was adorned with a gigantic garland, and he rested his huge mace on one of his shoulders. And this one that we'll speak more on. His mental and bodily strength, as well as the boon conferred upon him, had made him proud. He feared death at the hands of no one, and there was no checking him. The gods, therefore, were seized with fear at his very sight, and they hid themselves, even as snakes hide themselves for fear of Garuda. So we've been hearing in the previous verses, and we'll continue to hear in the next few verses, just some of the qualities of these two very, very powerful demons. And why were they so very, very powerful? Because they were so very, very dear to the Lord, and they had a role that they were playing in this birth as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. They had a role that they were playing, and they played that role to the maximum, you could say, to the maximum. So they had become under the control of all those, apparently under the control of all the material qualities that make one falsely proud of one's position. And that word falsely proud is very important to put there to understand that description, because what was their real position? What is all of our real position? Our real position is not what we're exhibiting here in this form, in this bodily form, but our real position is that we're just tiny, little, insignificant servants of the Supreme Lord. That's the jewel of the knowledge that the spiritual master gives us. That's real knowledge. And all the other manifestations of knowledge that appear materially, you know, great memory, this or that, high intelligence, ability to analyze things, the ability to make quick, decisive decisions and impact people in so many ways. All of those things are not necessarily knowledge in and of themselves, because unless one knows who they really are and what our real position is, then we're just, everything is based on ignorance. Just like in that, I guess it was a memory or an excerpt of Srila Prabhupada's talk that Mukhya Prabhu was reading just now, when Srila Prabhupada was making the comment of how the United Nations hasn't been able to unite anybody because the basis of the whole organization and whole material life is, I am my body, and I think I'm the one, I think I'm the supreme enjoyer. I think I'm the one who should be, you know, the center of everything. And everyone should worship me, or at least acknowledge my good qualities, at least, the very least. Oh, and that reminds me. Okay, so yesterday's class, can you remember a little bit from yesterday's class? Nagaraj Prabhu gave a very nice class, and he was talking, he quoted a lot from the 16th chapter where the divine and demoniac natures are expressed in the Bhagavad Gita. And he was talking about 16.4, pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance. These qualities belong to those of demoniac nature, O son of Prita. And the Sanskrit is dambodarpo bimanas cha, krodha paurusham eva cha, agyanam cha bijatasya partha sampadam asurim. So the translation, pride, arrogance, conceit, he was making the comment how those words are so very similar in definition. But according to the Sanskrit, the beauty of the Sanskrit language is that it can be very, very specific. And the nuances of the translations of those words have subtle differences in meaning. So I was re-listening to Chaitanya Charan Prabhu's presentation on that 16th verse from the Bhagavad Gita. And he was explaining the meanings of those words, the subtleties and the differences in the meaning. So dumba is a type of pride. It's a type of pride. But when one's proud of themselves, thinking that they have good qualities, even though they don't exhibit those good qualities, that's dumba. They don't have those qualities, but in illusion, they're thinking, I'm the best at this, I'm the most that, I'm the this and the that, and therefore it's a type of pride. So You know, pride, all the subtleties. But dharpa is when you have those qualities and you expect people to respect you because you have those qualities. The qualities are there. Wealth, strength, fame, whatever, to some degree, a person may possess them, but they're desiring attention. They're desiring recognition. They're desiring recognition for those qualities, and when they don't get recognition for those good qualities that they have, they become frustrated. So we can think of a few different examples of people who exhibit it. Things like that. So dumbha, pride, when you don't have those good qualities. I'm thinking of the example, and perhaps you can think of other ones, of Pondraka. Pondraka, he didn't have the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but somehow or other, due to some, trick of illusory nature, he thought that he had those qualities, and he was very proud that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he sent his messenger to Krishna, who was able to entertain all the members of the assembly in Dwarka by his message. He entertained them by saying that Pondraka says, I'm the original Supreme Personality of Vasudeva, and I have incarnated to smash the pride and smash the atheists. And I order you, he's saying to Krishna, I order you to surrender to me and surrender all those false symbols of Vasudeva that you hold. And Krishna said, sure, no problem. Here, try to catch my Sudarshan Chakra as I throw it at you, you know. But it was one exhibition of that pride, false pride. He didn't have those qualities, yet he was manifesting some pride. Some illusion that he had him. And dharpa, arrogance, he has the good qualities. He has good qualities and deserves to be respected. But the subtlety is the desire for respect. Because we hear from Lord Chaitanya in his Shikshastika prayers that even the desire for, please free us even from the desire for respect. Let me be, that's a trap. So, one person who exhibited that occasionally was Indra. Indra had good qualities. He was elevated demigod. He had to have the qualification, you could say, to become Indra, the king of the heaven. He had good qualities, but he expected that respect. And especially he was very ticked off when the residents of Vrindavan, on the advice of just some little small talkative boy, changed the worship of Indra to the worship of Govardhan Hill. And boy, did he make a mess of things, temporarily anyway, But those qualities are the subtle nuances of pride, conceit, anger, and stuff are very interesting. And also there's abhiman. Abhiman is a conceit when one is actually all the time talking about themselves and their quote-unquote glories and very hungry for it. So it's just, yes, it's all the same, but those nuances make it very interesting. Oh, and then how sometimes Krodha is expressed through speech, that anger. So then someone who's expressing their Krodha and their conceit through anger, they're speaking very harshly. So all of these qualities, unfortunately, are very prominent in this day and age. By not only by political leaders, but by every Tom, Dick, and Harry, Prabhu. The culture is to cultivate these qualities. These qualities that bring about our downfall. Why? Because they entangle us more and more in fruitive actions and the reaction of that, and then the suffering from that reaction, et cetera, and extending our life, our entanglement in material life. So even if we, as we've heard in this pastime, Hiranyakashipu, the fall of Jai and Vijay, and their subsequent birth. We're just doing the first their first rebirth as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, after Hiranyaksha was killed and Hiranyakashipu was there, he was preaching to his relatives. We heard a little excerpt of that. He was preaching to his relatives. He had Vedic knowledge. He could understand in that circumstance. He was in his body. His death was glorious. He, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You shouldn't lament this and that. Life is temporary, this and that. But we can see the disconnect, right? Somehow or other, it's probably another trick of Maya, that it's so easy to see the disconnect in other people and so much more difficult to see the disconnect in ourselves or the problems that we have, the difficulties that we have. But anyway, but somehow or other, he had the disconnect where he could speak Vedic wisdom, and he was speaking true parts of true philosophy to his family, trying to relieve them of their lamentation over the death of Hiranyaksha. But he couldn't apply it in his own life. So there was a recent class by Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj in his series of conceptual study of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was explaining why this gap between knowledge, transcendental knowledge, and application. He was talking about that, why there's a gap, and what to do about that gap of properly applying it to our very life. And he said one of the most important things to do is to surround ourselves. We're hearing transcendental knowledge and trying to apply it, and sometimes it's easier to apply than others. We're hearing transcendental knowledge. So how to make that disconnect, or how to make that connection, we'll put it on the positive side, how to make that connection between what we're hearing and how we'd like to come to that standard of knowledge. It says to surround ourselves in an atmosphere with spiritual activities. Just like all of you probably have in your home, or you have your little temple, you have your sacred space, you have the transcendental sound vibrations that you're accustomed to hearing to during the day, maybe classes, maybe lectures, maybe bhajans or kirtans or whatever. And so many, we have to make a personal culture to continually imbibe the spiritual teachings that we're hearing, which are, for the most part, beyond our level of realization and action, but gradually, by us surrounding ourselves with that culture, then the purification and the ability to apply it become more and more, more ability to do that. So I was thinking when we were chanting the verses, another thing that Maharaj was saying, what I was hearing recently, he didn't necessarily say it recently, but I was hearing this, when he said that, and this was stressed by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada would always stress for us to chant the verses, the Sanskrit verses of the Bhagavatam, whether we're very expert in chanting the Bhagavatam or we constantly need correction, like Nagaraj loves to do, correct our mispronunciation, and others, also, you know, which is valid because, anyway, but the point is that the vibration of the Sanskrit verses in the Bhagavatam have a potency to purify the heart. Just the vibration alone purifies the heart and gives one the ability to understand the concepts that it's talking about. Pretty interesting, huh? So we could make more of an effort to appreciate and study those things too. The ability is there. Srila Prabhupada would say that, and he would stress that too, and that's why he established the program of chanting the Sanskrit daily, you know, so that we would get that practice, we would hear that vibration, and it would give us the ability gradually, everything's a gradual process. It would give us the ability to come to the level of understanding and purification and acting on those these very elevated points. So we find ourselves in very similar situations. Like when we hear, sometimes you think the excessive description of the demons and their demoniac nature, we think, oh man, do I have to hear more of that again? Let me hear the nectar. But actually it's actually meant to bring to our own awareness that those qualities are still unfortunately lingering around our minds and hearts also. And there's might be different ways or subtleties of that we weren't aware of previously, that by seeing, oh yeah, I just like that example of Hiranyakashipu speaking at Hiranyaksha's funeral or funeral pyre, you could say. He's speaking Vedic knowledge, but he's not able to apply it to himself. So we have those tendencies also, and how we can, by the trick of Maya, having it easy, being more easily, we can perceive it more in others, the faults in others, then by hearing that, we can also see, oh, I also have that also. Just the very often used example is when one points their finger at others, you're this or that. There's one finger pointing that way, but the three of them also are coming this way to the very self. And how is it that I could see a fault in others if I didn't have that fault? If I didn't have that fault, I wouldn't perceive it in others. But because I have that fault, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj says, I myself am honeycombed with faults. And that's true of your speaker today. But by taking up the process with all whatever degree of sincerity we can, gradually, all those things become cleansed from the heart. So is there any discussion or question at this particular point that you'd like to bring up? Yes, Mr. Trivikram Prabhu.
Hari Bol. So yesterday's topic and today they're similar and related. So like on the topic of pride, what I observe or what I know is, you know, I'm full of it really. But what I had observed recently, I had one devotee, I asked him to learn to tie your dhoti properly because he was like pulling it up over his knee, you know, it was like, and then I noticed he didn't come to the temple for like 3-4 months, you know. Another one I mentioned one day, maybe that topic you've chosen for class wasn't the best of topics. Then I didn't see him like for, you know, so sometimes it's, even if we're practicing really as devotees, yet you could see that pride is still,
yes,
you know, impeding our progress and affecting us, really. You know?
Yeah, that's a point. But just another point also is, in instructing others, unless there's a relationship there, it's hard just to come up and have a person, you know, okay, well, don't be too proud. Try to listen to what I have to say, okay, please. You know, unless there's a loving relationship in there, then one, sometimes it's a little hard to swallow. Anyway, Ragatmika Prabhu?
In the verse we recite before Bhagavatam class, all that is troublesome to the heart
is almost
almost destroyed to nil. If the hearing of Bhagavatam is so potent, what's the nil? What's or almost destroyed.
The subtleties, the nil is the subtleties, because sometimes we become proud of our knowledge.
Ah.
That's the subtlety there. It's almost completely destroyed to nil, because by hearing Bhagavatam regularly and be able to recite a verse here and there and whatever, whatever. Jai, I'm getting it. Jai, I'm making advancement. Jai, jai, I'm saying Spanish, jai, sorry. I'm getting, you know what I mean? So that's that. Pride is, and as the anartas, as the unwanted qualities in the conditioned soul are cleansed, the gross ones are the most easiest to relinquish. Meat eating, illicit sex, yeah, you know what I mean? Gross, that. But the subtleties of those things are more and more difficulty. And as the anartas get more and more subtle, like false pride, et cetera, then it's much more difficult to cleanse.
So can we say that it's that pride is that last thing that can't, that could just...
We could say that, I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, what's the solution or the part or the path or the path of the solution is to actually understand, you know, the greatness of the Lord and our real position in relation to the Supreme Lord. Insignificant. We're insignificant. At the same time, that insignificance is not discarded by the Lord, even though we're significantly insignificant, because everyone is significant to the Supreme Lord. But just like, and if you, I've had this experience of, not recently, but years ago, walking on the beach, you know, and so there's all these, you know, you're walking, you know, Florida beaches, you know, they're miles and miles long sometimes, depending on where you are. But anyway, so if you're considering that the spirit soul is the size of a grain of sand, which is big for a spirit soul size. But if you consider, you know, you're stepping over countless, it's not even, you know, there's not even numbers for the numbers of grain of sand. So you're stepping on a certain area of grains of sand. You're in an area of grain of sand, say like the white squares, you know. And there's a little grain of sand over there thinking, I'm the most important grain of sand here. I'm the biggest one. I'm the this one, that. I'm the most beautiful. I'm the most this or that. And then you walk on to the next, you know, 10 million, quadrillion, 100 million grains of sand in the next block, and then there's another grain of sand thinking something different. It's totally insignificant in the perspective of thing, and that's our position. The more that we forget that, or better said, the more that we remember our position in relation to the Supreme Lord, then those amanina, manadena, kirtaniya, sadahari qualities can properly develop, or more properly develop. Guru Prasad Prabhu? And then, yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for your discussion. Did Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha both got benedictions? I remember Hiranyakashipu performed the austerity.
He did, yeah. Right. He did. He got the benediction. And then, as what was explained yesterday about the demoniac, they train up their family members, you know, they train up their family members. So he didn't actually get the benediction, but, you know, I guess it was by association. Excuse me? Yes, that was our, thank you. That's what I was referring to, yeah, because it said that they train everybody up. The very first sentence of the purport from yesterday, the demoniac spirit is to train all family members to exploit the resources of the universe. Okay. So he, you know, so just like, so Hiranyaksha is protected in that sense by Hiranyakashipu's boon, because no one can kill him, and if he sticks with him, he's thinking he's safe.
I thought Hiranyakashipu performed the austerities after Hiranyaksha was killed, wasn't it?
Or, it's true. It was true, but it's not that he was impotent before that also. You know what I mean? Okay. So you're right. So you're finished then? Is that what you're saying? Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Best of the string bean pickers. Yes.
My question is about pride. I have many questions about pride. So I experience pride, and not that super gross.
You're the only one in this room that does that. Oh my God, Hare Krishna. Go ahead.
Well, I want help.
But you're in good company. Hare Krishna.
There's probably that very gross pride there also. But what I get shocked more by is the very subtle. All of a sudden, I realize, oh, I actually wanted recognition for something. And so I have been told that the way to combat pride is to practice gratitude, which develops humility, which is the opposing quality to pride. Okay, so I can do that, and there seems to be some maybe small effect of that. But it seems like most of the time I just have to turn to Krishna and kind of like, what the heck is going on here situation. So I'm wondering what else, what, you know, help me. What can I do?
Okay, so first of all, the fact that a person can even see that they have pride and even see and realize different subtleties of that pride, how it manifests its ugly head. Counterintuitively, you think, oh, I'm really fallen. But it's a sign of advancement. It's a sign of advancement when we can see our own faults. Previously to that realization or whatever, because you didn't have a sinful background like myself, you know, but previously, I was thinking I was great, I was this, I was the most that, I was this, and, you know, I wasn't any of those things, obviously, and I'm still not any of those things. But at the same time, I couldn't see that. I was convinced I am great. So how do you get rid of pride is to see your real position, or try to see, or start to see. So it may seem, you may seem discouraged by seeing those things, but actually, cut that discouragement off right at the root, and be grateful that Krishna's giving you and me and all of us, he's giving us an opportunity to see those things. We can't rectify a mistake that we don't realize we have, or a bad quality that we, so that's, it's progress, okay? So be happy for the progress that you're making, okay? Another recommendation for finding faults in others, how to counteract that, is to glorify the qualities of others. Look for the good. Again, same thing there. If we're not looking for the good in others, we'll never see the good in others. We'll just see all the things that agitate us about this one and that one and that one and that. Look for the good. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, when there was trouble in the mutt, when there was trouble in the ashram and there was difficulties between one or two devotees, he would bring them in and he would sit them down. I don't know if he did it regularly, but anyway, there's a story like that. He would bring them in, sit them down, and say, now say something good about that person. And they would have to think of good things. And I think I'm remembering Satchinandana Maharaj telling this story. That's, you know, and he would say, and sometimes when it would get to a thing that they couldn't see anything good, they thought, well, at least you take prasadam. You know, start on just start somewhere. If you can't see anything good, start somewhere. At least they come and see the devotees. At least they're chanting Hare Krishna, whatever, you know what I mean? Start somewhere, and then more will come from that. So that's some tips, if anyone else wants to. Mukunda, yes, I was hoping you would have some comments or enlightenment to share with us. Thanks. So maybe he'll will be fortunate to hear.
Hare Krishna, Dhanavad. Very wonderful class, as usual. So I've been listening at home when I can't come physically, and this Leela is very, very wonderful. You completely answered her question about pride, so I can't elaborate more on that. But as far as the Leela is concerned, this is probably one of the most prominent Leelas in Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's why its length is so long.
Yes.
So they're really very high class of things in this Leela for our benefit in growing in bhakti. This is the first, not the first, but It is a prominent manifestation of what Krishna praying means. Mm-hmm. So the Leela set out in such a way as to show that Jai and Vijay, who were very dear to Lord Narayan, are performing a pastime in order to give pleasure to Narayan, which means that the basis of the Leela has to be in Prem, because if they're opposite to Bhagavan, truly, he would not get any pleasure from the Leela.
Nice point, thank you.
So their mood, it's explained, it's gonna come up in the 16th chapter, that actually their Leela is actually Bhakti Yoga. Mm-hmm. So it's gonna say, Samrama Sambritya Samari Anubhadi Yoga, and then Srila Prabhupada in the purport will mention that their performance was in Bhakti Yoga. But because we can't imitate that, no acharya is recommended, therefore follow the example of Hiranyakasipu, etc. But the Leela itself is so full of love from the time the four Kumaras came and Bhagavan told, oh, these Jai and Vijay, they are my own. Mm-hmm. He always referred to the Kumaras as Brahmins and he gave them respect.
Yeah, interesting.
But he referred to Jai and Vijay as his own. And this is the first quality, it's called Mamata of Prem. Then later on in the Leela itself, what we're reading now about the descriptions of their appearance, their descriptions of their bodies, this is all part of what's called the rasa samagri of the Leela that's gonna be performed. So rasa has to have certain elements, like there has to be a stai bhav. The stai bhav for Jai and Vijay is that they have dasata towards Narayan, the das of Narayan. The secondary rasa here is vira rasa, that they're gonna fight with him. So now in order to give what's called an udipan, like a stimulus to that mood, like when you see a movie or if you see a sporting event, then they hype up the sporting event with so many things. This star, that star, this is the venue, this is the challenge, this is... So Bhagavatam is now describing the udipan, which is gonna set up the beauty of the fight between them. First between Hiranyaksha and Varaha, then the Sringadeva and Hiranyakasipu, et cetera, et cetera. So the whole thing is actually Leela Rus, is actually very wonderful. And if we read it, even if we don't catch all of those things, the impressions of those things come in the heart, because our goal is Krishna Prem. Mm. Mm. So this is such a wonderful, actually, Bhakti Sanat Saraswati Thakur used to recite this pastime at Radhakund, in the Sringa Prahlad. And Gadadhar Pandit used to speak it at Tota Gopinath to Mahaprabhu and his associates. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's how wonderful this Leela is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, thank you. And that reminds me of how the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam, they're listed in the second canto, 10th chapter, first verse, the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam, one of them is that the Lord's relationship, the Lord's love for his devotees, you know, and this is actually exemplifying how the Lord loves his devotees so much that even he's willing to set up circumstances like this and, you know, save them from all of their the difficulties they go through. In the story, right, I guess it's in the seventh canto, when the story's being, even the appearance of Lord Nrisingadeva is more elaborately described. Right after Lord Nrisingadeva killed Hiranyakashipu, then he went and sat on Hiranyakashipu's throne. So one would think, if you're just looking at the story from that point of view, you'd think, why would he sit on that demoniac person's throne? He had no, you know. But she, in the purport, Prabhupada explains from Sanatana Goswami's commentary that the Lord was very happy to sit on that throne of Hiranyakashipu. Because why? Because he saw, this is my devotee, Jai and Vijay, whoever it was. You know, this is my devotee, therefore let me sit on his throne. Vegavati, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I want to thank you for stopping early after your wonderful class, because the discussion itself has had plenty of time to be so delicious, especially Mukunda Prabhu's elaboration.
I did that on purpose, aside from the fact that I went blank at 8:30, so Hardy Bowl. Go ahead.
So, but I'm going back to the humility discussion. Uh-huh. I remember hearing once one dictionary definition of humility is awareness of one's own honest awareness of one's own shortcomings. Mm. So that's there. And I get sometimes inspiration from music, like old songs, and including country songs. So one
in case anyone doesn't know, Vegavati's specialty, you can just give her a quarter and she'll sing any song in the jukebox, no worry. Go ahead. Yes, dear.
Anyway,
and she'll probably Krishnize the lyrics,
there's
too.
There's one song that begins, "Did you ever see the funny side of losing?" So, like, when we catch ourselves in false pride, it's like, oh, Krishna, you know, it's a joke. The joke's on me, uh-huh, you know, and Krishna has a great sense of humor, and you just thank him.
Yes, that gratitude, that helps. Thank you. And another definition of humility that's often spoken about is humility doesn't mean you think less of yourself or you think that you're less than others, but it means that you think less of yourself. How do you say that? Did I say that all wrong? That one, too. Thanks. You think of yourself less. Thank you. It shows you that a person who can't even say it needs to practice it more properly. Hare Krishna. Ragatmika.
Yeah, the point that was made to glorify others and see the good things in others, because if we don't make that deliberate effort to do then our pride just escalates.
Yeah.
Thinking,
totally,
nobody's decent around here. I'm really the only one who's.
And I am the most humble, and why people can't see that, I don't know. You know, yeah. That it all, it's amazing, huh? The tricks of Maya, subtleties of Maya. Okay, so hopefully during the day today you'll think of the Supreme Lord and all his mercy and have a wonderful day. Thank you very kindly. Hare Krishna, glories to Srila Prabhupada, and glories to Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu for their service to the Lord. Hare Krishna.